I love that guy. What a blast. Just out of curiosity, does anybody know that victory that we were just singing about? Is that a couple of you? Couple? You know what? Because that really matters to the whole conversation that we started last week. Because if you don't know the victory, if you don't know what Jesus actually did for you and how that applies in your own life and what's going on as a result of his work that happened on the cross, if your life hasn't been changed, then who cares about my neighbor? We're talking about loving our neighbors. Last week, I challenged you to consider the great commandment that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 10. And if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to spend some of our time this week. And I challenged us last week to take the great commandment literally. Literally. And so in our bulletin, we made sure that each bulletin had one of these. How many of these are here today? Do you have one in your bulletin now? You should have one. And so if you weren't here last week, some of you weren't, well, guess what? You don't have an excuse. You have one now too. And we can get you one. Ushers, Mr. Eisted, can you check the other bullet, the other, find some more of these. You know what I mean. And we'll make sure that everybody gets one. So our goal last week was, we talked about how do we love our neighbors literally. And the first place that we have to start is we have to know their names. You cannot love, I mean, you can. You probably love your neighbor, you know, bring him a nice banana loaf or something, you know, in a simple way that you can love your neighbors. But one of the best ways to love our neighbors is to know their name. Not just, hey, how are you doing? It's great to see you again. I have no idea who you are, but. No, the first way that we love our neighbors is to know their name. When we know their name, we can actually engage in conversation with them. We can engage in prayer for them. We can, wow, that's the place that we start. We engage with them. I picked on my friend Aaron last week. I'm so sorry, my friend. But he's a good neighbor. It's fun watching him reach out to the people around him. It's great to go back and realize that my neighbors really do matter. And so as I went home, I promised you last week, it was my promise that I was going to engage conversation right along with you. I challenged you to go home and try and figure out what your neighbors' names are all the way around. Some of you came to me after the service last week and you said, I know every single one, all eight families all the way around. And then I had someone else tell me, I don't have neighbors. They live on the top of a hill, and their son and daughter live beside them. That's it. I said, I'll give you permission to extend the range just a little bit, you know, and figure out. For some of us, we actually have to figure out who our neighbors are, right? Mark, I don't know if you know who your neighbors are. No, so he's just building a house, and he's just living wherever he can find a bed right now, and I just cheer you on, man. And but sometimes we can actually find out who our neighbors are. Some other people are moving. I know that they're moving. They're in the process of moving. Guess what? They're going to have neighbors real soon, and they're going to figure out who those neighbors are. We start by literally loving our neighbor, as Jesus said. Remember his words in the Great Commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. And second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we get really literal with that, and we take this map out and we start drawing and figuring out, okay, so who's around me? Last week I confessed to you there was a girl that lives right across the street from me. I have no idea who she is. I since have found out that her name is Jen, and I've met her. She came to my office one day and asked for a Bible. I didn't know she was my neighbor that lives right across the street from me. I still got one house that has three different groups of people living in it. I have no idea who they are. And I'm working on it. Joanne's going to help me with that. We're going to figure out those neighbors. And This is the place that we start, though. I want us to go one more step today and talk about how it is that we are going to actually step in and, I mean, to start there and understand the victory that we have in Christ is that starting place. So he says now, if you love me, obey my commands. This is my command, that you would love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus' words. Jesus' words to his disciples. These are the words that he sent them, and he said, this is the job I have for you. This is your job. And every single one of us is here today because those disciples did what Jesus asked them to do. And so for the church to continue, he has now given that task to you and to me to share with our literal neighbors and maybe those metaphorical neighbors. You know, because sometimes we like to live in the metaphorical land, which includes everybody in this world, and so we take the opportunity whenever the Lord provides it. Maybe for some of us that don't know our exact neighbors, maybe we'll just have to reach and be intentional about reaching other people in our community in such a way. I was challenged by the Acts passage last week that we read, and it told me, Paul told me in that message that he was giving to the Greeks, he said, God put you right where you are on purpose. He planted you in the house that you're living in on purpose, that you would love your neighbor. Yeah, so last week we were challenged to learn the names of the people all around us, so it's time to step in a little closer now. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, I want you to just consider learning the names. Start praying for those people that are around you, and then step in even farther. Start to hear some of their story. Start to maybe ask them some questions. You know, engage in conversation, which leads to relationship. This whole idea of moving from a stranger. In fact, with one of my neighbors, I think we are kind of still strangers. I know one of them has a dog, and our dogs meet in the back alley every once in a while, but I've never taken the time to ask her name. So we're still strangers. And you move from stranger to acquaintance, from acquaintance to relationship, and when we get to that point of relationship, they're going to start seeing something in us. They're going to start seeing Christ in us. I hope they're going to see Christ in us, and they're going to want to know a little bit more about that. And then we can actually engage in conversation about the hope that we have in Christ. There's this big idea. The big idea for today's message is that in order for us to take the Great Commandment seriously, we need to create space in our lives to build relationships with those that are near us. Why do we care about building relationships? Because Christ said, love your neighbors. Love them in such a way that you'll have opportunity to tell them the story that he's given you. He's entrusted you with his story. I think it's the best news in the world. I think it's why we do VBS. It's why we want to actually open up God's the doors of God's church figuratively and literally. We're going to open the doors and we're going to invite the community to come in because we care about telling that story. Any amens to that? You agree with us? So the biggest obstacle, I think, sometimes in taking the Great Commandment seriously is this four-letter word, T-I-M-E. We say we don't have time to get to know our neighbors. And what we're really saying sometimes is I don't consider getting to know my neighbors as important as everything else that I do. I don't have time. Have you heard those words before? I think this is my best picture I've seen in a long time. I don't have time is the grown-up version of saying the dog ate my homework. I think every single one of us needs to find or create or make time for those people that God has put right in your way. He's put them right there on purpose. It seems like we live in the tension between the urgent and the important. When our priorities are determined by the urgent, not necessarily by the important, and our lives won't match up with our intention. So here's a question. Do we live at a pace that allows us to be available to those who live around us? Jesus had time for interruptions. Do we? What would it take for us to change the pace of our lives in order to be more available to those who are living right around us? So today we've got more time-saving devices at our disposal than any generation in the history of the world. How's that working for you? Yeah, we've got more time-saving devices available to us, yet we feel as if we've got less and less time to get things done. And so we come to Luke chapter 10. Last week we started with the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we learned a little bit about who our neighbor is. And the question was asked of Jesus, who my neighbor is, and the guy went away not with a direct answer. He went away with, here is the way that you should neighbor. Love them. Love your enemy. Love the one that God put right in front of you. Love the one who's broken, who's sick, who's dirty, who's needy. Jesus' words in Matthew 25 come to mind for me. He said, whatever you've done for the least of these, my brothers, you've done for me. But we come back to Luke chapter 10, and right after Jesus tells this story of who is my neighbor, and he told this fellow, okay, go and do likewise. He asked him, so who do you think the neighbor is? And the expert in the law said, the one who had mercy on him, couldn't even wrap his lips around the word Samaritan. It was the Samaritan. No, it's the guy who did good. It's the one who had mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. The next story we come to, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. Here in Luke chapter 10 is a story that points to a better way. Right after this story of the Good Samaritan is one about two sisters, Mary and Martha, who invite Jesus and some of his disciples into their home. Come on in, sit down, let's have a meal. And while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus listening to all that he's saying, the other sister, Martha, devotes herself to cleaning the house, making the meal. The pace catches up with Martha, and she's complaining to Jesus. And she's saying, she wonders if her sister doesn't, why her sister doesn't help her in the kitchen, according to kind of the cultural understanding and practice of the day. I don't want to get in trouble here today. Okay, ladies? Understand me here. The cultural practice of the day was that the ladies would be in the kitchen making sure that food is ready and everything is all prepared. And so the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it'll not be taken away from her. There is so much we can learn from Martha. The key phrase in this lesson is found right there in verse 40. In verse 40 it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was distracted. At first glance, it looks like Martha is the one who really understands what's important in life. It's like she gets it. But Martha, she opens up her home to Jesus. She cares so much about him and his followers that she's preparing this huge meal for them. That's all good. But Martha's busyness causes her to miss out on an opportunity to be with Jesus and to be with his disciples. Jesus reprimands her for it. I think it's crazy. Here's this lady trying so hard to make sure everything's ready and to do the right thing and to be a good hostess. It was like she had it all set. Martha gets the reprimand for serving Jesus. And that's exactly what makes this story so powerful. See, Jesus is saying that sometimes we need to learn how to say no to good things and yes to what's better. Yes to the greater story that we need to understand. We need to focus on what's most important. So we take another look at Mary, in particular this one sentence that is very significant. See, Mary, she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. In the Hebrew culture, to sit at someone's feet indicates a relationship between a disciple and the teacher. See, in this culture, the women were not supposed to be the students, much less disciples of a rabbi. They were supposed to be in the kitchen helping fix a meal, and a woman's identity was intertwined with her ability to be a good hostess. But Mary defies the cultural norms of her day. Instead, her life is centered. It's centered around the absolute main thing, Jesus. In a similar way, if we're going to love our neighbors, we, like Mary, must go against the grain. And we've got to find ways to listen carefully to the teaching of Jesus in the Great Commandment. Our purpose in life is to love God and love others. If you need a reference back to where you can find the Great Commandment, it's right at the top of my page here in chapter 10 of Luke. And it's right at the start, and it's actually not Jesus sharing it. It's the guy who asked him, "Who's my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do you think?" And he answered in verse 27, Luke 10, 27, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." If you need another place, it's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, right in there. You find that same commandment as Jesus was asked. What do you think of the Great Commandment? What's the greatest commandment? You'll find it there as well. See, our purpose in life is to love God with everything that we have. And the second part is to love the people around us. Love our neighbors. Love those that God has intentionally put you among. Sometimes I use this concept of sphere of influence. I mean, reach out. Reach out with your life and see who you touch. There's that saying that 7 degrees of separation. Well, never mind that. Why don't you just reach out and find out who it is that's close to you? And I've learned already, I mean, those people closest to me. There's other people in our community, in our little neighborhood that I've been able to meet and just have great conversations with. Out last week just putting in bricks, and Stu was there helping me, and people are walking by all the time, and you're chatting with them. And the opportunities just to be in the front yard, it blew me away. The people that come, the people that you can have just simple life conversations with. For some of us, it might mean that we need to forego some good things, devote some time and some energy to better things. The main things, loving God and loving our neighbors. Living a hurried and frantic lifestyle is the opposite of what Jesus wants us to live for our lives. And I know that those words can be almost like a hammer and chisel to some of our lives. Because, hey, we're busy. Life is going by at a frenetic pace. And if we can find ourselves caught in that, what some people have termed or coined, a rat race, right? We find ourselves in this rat race, chasing after so much that this world is telling us that we're supposed to be doing, that we forget about those people that are right beside us and what they need most. And I think what a lot of people around us need the most, they need a neighbor. They need a friend. They need hope. And they need Jesus. I think it's amazing how much Jesus got done when we read in the scriptures. How many places he went to, how many people he connected with. That one day, remember? They were on their way somewhere and there's people all around, and Jesus was trying to share and teach, and he was called to somebody's home, a really important person's home, and so he was starting to make his way to this important person's home because apparently her daughter was sick. So he was on his way to, and all of a sudden somebody touched him, and what did he do? Did he keep on walking? Did he just keep going? No way. He allowed the interruption and he turned. And here's a lady that was sick for years and years and years who had just touched his garment. And because of her faith, she was healed. Jesus didn't just keep on walking and ignore her. He turned to her, and he had compassion on her, and he spent time with her. I think it's amazing how many times we see that story in Scripture. Some guys screaming at Jesus from the periphery of the road, and we find out later that this guy has been blind for a long time, and Jesus stopped and went to him and cared for him, healed him. There's a quote from a book called The Life That You've Always Wanted. Sounds like a good read, right? The Life You've Always Wanted, written by John Ortberg. John Ortberg. O-R-T-B-E-R-G. John states this. He said this. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. He's coined this phrase, hurry sickness. Some of us have hurry sickness. He said this in this book. He said, love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time, and time is the one thing that hurried people don't have. Love always takes time, and time is the one thing hurried people don't have. And so it brings me to my question of the day. If relationships are a priority, then what are some ways that we can truly devote time to them? I want to ask you that. I want to ask you to just stop for a moment and engage with this question. Engage in your own mind. And if you got the guts, turn to your neighbor and just talk about it for a moment. Find a neighbor around you, someone just right close by, and talk about this question. If relationships are a priority, then what are some ways that we can truly devote time to them? What are some things that we can do in a very literal way to love our neighbor? Have that chat. Ready, set, go. You guys are all polite today. Okay? You figure out some ways? Let me hear from you. What are some ways that we can devote time? What are some ways that we can show love to our neighbors? Someone over here? Sorry? Talk to them. Stop and talk. Great. Anybody else? Take them for coffee. Have a cup of coffee with them. That's great. Yeah. Link, did you have one? How can we show love? Oh, bring in your friends to lunch. That's a great way. Fantastic. Anybody else here? Yeah. Listen. Huge. Listen. Yeah. Someone else? Make him a carrot cake and bring it to the pastor's house. No. That's right. There you go. Simple. Simple, right? Simple. Yeah. Someone here? Who else? Some other ways. I heard one. Cut their grass. Maybe ask them first. Some of us have been getting into trouble for just cutting our neighbor's grass. Okay? Yeah, it's a good one, though. I think it's great. I'll do it anyways, whether they like it or not. But someone else? What other ways? Come on, let's get practical here. What are? Sorry? Find out their names. Absolutely. It's huge. Yeah. Cats, dogs, and kids. Know their names too, right? Hey, you wanna catch a mom's attention? Talk to their children, not with candy. Don't do that. Talk to their kids by name. By name. little Charlie in our neighborhood, she's always flabbergasted that I remember her name, because she knows I'm Pastor Trevor here, but at home in our neighborhood, she's like, I know you, but who are you? You know, I just say, Charlie, it's good to see you. Yeah, these are some simple ways that we can love our neighbors and be intentional about making time, devoting time, actually putting it in priority. There's three specific ways that I want to invite you to connect in relationship with our neighbor in this next week. The first one is just stop and take time. When we stop and reflect on the most important things in life and then schedule around those things, that matters. This story, Martha and Mary, Martha's so busy that she misses out on what's most important. For those who struggle with busyness, our dilemma's bigger than a shortage of time. It's actually about our priorities. We tend to let the urgent things crowd out the important things, and we're missing the main thing because we are busy with other good things. I think the most important thing sometimes in life is figuring out what the main thing is and then keep the main thing the main thing. Has anybody read that book? No? It's an interesting book. Keeping the main thing the main thing. Well, what's the main thing in our life? God has asked us to love Him above everything. Love Him above absolutely everything. And so the main thing in our lives, when we talk about priorities, really needs to be who God is in our life. Who He is and how we can share Him with those around us. Keeping the main thing, first takes time. Yeah, the story of these two sisters teaches us that we must live counterculturally in order to experience the life that Jesus wants us to live. We must learn how to say no to good things so that we can say yes to the main thing. The second way of keeping the main thing is to be intentional. We need to be intentional about planning our life around our priorities. Maybe we need to actually stop and take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down, what are those things that are most important in my life? What are the five top priorities in my life? What are they? Are they in order? Are they out of order? If you're honest with yourself, sometimes you can write them down and then you go, oh, I've been putting my family before God. Maybe it should be the other way around, but I don't know how to do that. These are good questions to stop, consider, and ask and figure out. If we truly want to be great neighbors, then we're going to have to make some adjustments. And that may mean that God will call you to say no to some good things, to focus on the main things that are so, so important. The second way to connect in relationship with our neighbors is sometimes we got to eliminate the time stealers. I know that this one's challenging because I love to binge watch a really good TV show. But how important is that? How important are some of the things that we waste our time on? Maybe there's room to let go of some for the neighbor next door. We have to learn how to stop wasting time with the activities that contribute nothing positive to our life. Someday I hope to get to Italy. Florence, Italy, there's a statue there. Do you know what statue I'm talking about? Yeah, the statue of David. One day I want to go there because I understand that it's very, very likely that if I go to see the statue of David, that someone will tell me the story of how this masterpiece was carved. By Michelangelo's own account, he simply started with a block of marble and he took away everything that wasn't the masterpiece. He took away everything that wasn't the masterpiece. He was a master of the art of elimination. And sometimes in our lives, we have to figure out, how do we eliminate some of those things that are going to steal the time that I need for my neighbors? To steal the energy that I need to just go and be with them. Kind of in the same way, we need to take the great commandment in a serious way. Practice this art of elimination. We need to focus on our top priorities and choose not to do the activities. Do the activities that keep us from that focus. The third thing about eliminating time, or third thing about building relationships, is to be interruptible. I was just interrupted by my timer telling me it's time. But the interruptions in our lives, I'll tell you, I'm a person that gets distracted easy. Squirrel. I mean, sometimes I have to put this one aside for myself in order to actually get the work done that I need to get done. I need to close my door to interruptions sometimes. But I'll tell you what, if you're with me and we're walking through the store, say Sobeys across the street, if you're with me, you may get really frustrated. Just ask my wife. Because I'll stop and talk to just about everybody I know. And in this community, it's getting to be a lot of people. Even yesterday, went to Home Hardware, my wife just disappeared on me. Well, it's because I was standing at the front door talking to two different people that before I even got in the store. And I'll tell you what, I relish those opportunities. I relish them because I was actually applauded one day by my life coach, Terry Young. He said, "I've watched you." We were having coffee at Kicking Horse. And three different people in 20 minutes came up to talk to me and interrupted our conversation. And he said, "You know what, Trevor? You have got this cool gift of allowing yourself to be interrupted. And you are blessing those other people. And I want to encourage us that there's room for us to be interrupted because people matter. They matter. So when we're interrupted in the middle of a conversation, don't get mad. Say, okay, God, I need to know what to do." Maybe that's what you got to do, but maybe that opportunity is there on purpose for you to step in and be intentional about loving them. Allow yourself to be interrupted. This idea of being interruptible is being willing to be inconvenienced. And it means developing that mindset that accepts the interruptions of others, to help and to care for those that are around us. And the people will know. They'll even sense your heart. And so even as we finish today, I want to ask this good question. Do you live at a pace that allows you to be available to those around you? Ask it in the personal. Do I live at a pace that allows me to be available to those around me? And if not, maybe you need to ask a different question. Are all the things that I'm doing more important than taking the great commandment literally? That's hard. That's a hard question. See, because real relationships with our neighbors are going to happen as we have the ability to be present with them and to connect with them. I loved how Psalm 90, verse 12, that the ladies read for us. It taught us right in the middle. "So teach us, Lord, to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom." One last story. I had a story of time. I was working hard in my office one day as a youth pastor, and there's this fellow who's on the board, and all of a sudden he was standing at my door of my office and he was smiling at me. And he said, "Pastor Trevor, I'm here to take you for lunch." And I just looked up and I said, "Oh, Ben, I don't have time. I have got so much to do." And you ever had one of those conversations where you remember every single word that person said? Because it hit you so clearly and dramatically. I'm going to tell you the words that came out of his moment right after I said to him, "I don't have time." He looked at me and he smiled. And he said this, "I don't have time. These idle words are not exactly true. Because I always find the time to do
the things I want to do. And I was cut to the heart. Because here's a brother that wanted to come, and he was making time for me to take me out and get to know me and to build relationship. And I had the gall to just look at him and say, I don't have time for you. Ouch. I wonder, do we have time for our neighbors? Do they matter, these people that God put right in your way? So here's the next step assignment. This is application for us today. It could be very simple. It could be as simple as spending 1 hour in your front yard this next week. Or maybe you've got a common area. And that place can be a place where you can just meet with some people there. Or maybe for you it might be taking a walk in your neighborhood and just stopping and chatting with your neighbors. Those people that you come into contact with. Maybe introduce yourself to the people when you see them. Take that next step if you already know them. Begin a relationship this week that's going to help you to share the love of Jesus. Anybody see this as valuable? I think my favorite part of all of this thinking is to be extremely practical and find ways to actually do it. And to love our neighbors right where they're at. Not just talk about it. Not just come here and say, oh yeah, we believe it's really important to love God with all our lives and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and then we walk out of here and do nothing about it. I think it's wrong, and I think it's sin. And so today, may we find a way to reach out, get to know our neighbors, love them right where they're at, and maybe even connect with them and have a barbecue. In such a way that it just opens the door for conversations. I got a prayer for us this week. I put it up here because I thought maybe you could take it with you. It's just really simple. God, give me the courage and the desire to make time to take the next step with those who live closest to me. Practical. Simple. Could I ask you this? Why don't we stand up? Howie and his team are going to come. They're going to sing one more song. But why don't we stand up and why don't we just simply pray this prayer to the Lord as we finish today. Let's stand together. If you're in agreement with me today, I invite you to just pray with me. God, give me the courage and desire to make time to take the next step with those who live closest to me. Amen.
Amen. If you prefer to sing from the hymn book, it's number